BFM 89.9, it's The Pulse with Ali Johan and Ofnil Ting tonight. You just heard a new track by James Blake, Are You Even Real? It's a new song by the producer James Blake, the title track of his new record that's slated to come out soon. And I think this single dropped a week ago, a song that he produced and co-wrote with his contemporaries Stara and Ali Tamposi. And I always loved James Blake and the kind of, you know,
melancholic.
It's melancholic and it's also very bassy. It's kind of like edgy in a way.
Yeah, the minimalism that he employs in all his songs makes it extra edgy, I feel. Right? A lot of restraint.
Yeah, that's right. And the bass sound is always, you know, it moves my, I don't know, it almost moved my body when I saw him live with a very, very heavy bass sound. And speaking of basses, right, we have a next story here.
That's right. It's about real bass guitars. But interesting that you mentioned James Blake because he's never played with a bass guitarist, but it's always bass that he uses from the keyboards.
That's right.
Which also fits the bill. But this time we're talking about real bass players. You know, the trend of listicles will not be going away anytime soon. We see it every day in the news, in food blogs, very BuzzFeed style. We just can't get enough of it. In the music world, however, there's just one list to rule them all, and that's the ones found on music portal Rolling Stone. Maybe not to rule them all, but it's one of the more famous ones around, right?
Yeah, that's right.
The most well-known one being Rolling Stone 500 Greatest Albums of All Time. If you are a record collector, you see that sticker all the time. You know, it's listed in 500 Greatest Albums of All Time.
Even though it's number 488.
Yeah,
right?
But it's still in the top 500. Still on the list. Yeah, well, so normally with this kind of list, a panel would decide what they think is the greatest song of all time. Of course, music is a very subjective thing. So the people that are in charge of deciding those lists would consist of a lot of different music hits, even though there will be disagreements, of course. But it's, I think it's still fun to see who they think is the best of all time, right? Besides coming up with a list of greatest albums, they're also known for other famous ones like 100 Greatest Drummers of All Time. John Bonham was number one, if you're wondering.
Nice.
You got 100 Greatest Guitarists of All Time. Jimi Hendrix was number one. No surprises there.
Yep.
There's even a 100 Greatest Singers list. Aretha Franklin was number one. But when it comes to the bass, the four-string sibling of the famous guitar, Rolling Stone only gave them a set top 10 Reader's Choice list in 2011 with John Entwistle from The Who taking the top spot.
Only 10?
Only 10.
I mean, the bassist never gets any love, right?
That's the joke
about people being in bands. But, I mean, you know, Rolling Stone, if you could fashion a list of 500 singers and guitarists and drummers, why not a list of bassists, right?
Yeah, it only took the music publication 9 years to come up with a greatest of all time list for the bass. Sadly, they could only come up with 50.
No!
So even when it's time for the bass to shine, they only got 50. But we'll take it, I guess. As you said, they're always the butt of jokes, right? Always underappreciated after the more flashy guitar and drums. Even when it comes to the Beatles, nobody actually wanted to be the bassist, and Paul McCartney had to become the bassist because nobody wanted to play the bass. And yet, you can't have a full lineup and a full sound without the bass that holds down the groove and the bottom end. Of course, calling things the greatest of all time will cause a lot of drama, right?
So yeah.
According to Rolling Stone, they mentioned how the list is not intended as a ranking of objective skill, nor does it assign any one set of criteria as a measure of greatness. Instead, it's an inventory of the bassists who have had the most direct and visible impact on creating the very foundation of popular music. We'll be going through some notable ones together, starting from the top. It's nice to see some new names, as always, alongside the older generation.
Yep.
It's hashtag Masakita, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so it's Thundercat coming in at number 50. He's the man who normalized having six strings on a bass guitar. Happy that he's there, because it shows that Rolling Stone actually, because they're kind of known for like more classic rock leaning kind of member, so it's nice to know that they are opening up.
Yep, and Thundercat's such a groovy bassist without being in rock, right?
Definitely, he's very individualistic style. At number 48, very happy to see Kim Deal of the Pixies there.
Nice.
Praised for her effectiveness to serve the song and the refreshingly lack of flashiness in her playing, because it really goes to show that technical skills is one thing, but sometimes all you need is to hold down the groove and keep it simple.
Yeah, restraint is everything, right?
Yeah.
And in basses, that is the thing about them. They don't overdo it. I mean, unless you're Flea.
Yeah, the best ones always don't overdo it, yeah. Right? You have Esperanza Spalding at number 45. Of course, she started as a violin prodigy and found her way to the bass by accident in high school. The Grammy-winning jazz bassist has become a very important ambassador for the jazz bass for this generation. She really does it all. Going through the list, I was also very happy to see famous session players that don't really have their own solo career but have remained in the shadows, helping more famous singers shine to their fullest. Those names are like Pino Palladino, which comes in at number 38, a very versatile four-string hero that I've played with everyone, and I mean everyone, from Elton John to The Who, Erykah Badu, D'Angelo, Jeff Beck. But of course, the younger cats out there would know him best from his work with the John Mayer Trio. Happy to see his son, Rocco Palladino, picking up from his dad as well, playing with Yusuf Days lately. At number 32, you have Sting, who is often overlooked as a bassist and overshadowed by his singing and songwriting abilities. In the list, we're talking about impact, right? So when it comes to bassists that sing, besides like Paul McCartney, he's one of those icons as well. And let's be real, just like the drums, it's sometimes not easy to sing and play bass at the same time, yeah. Especially when the melodies are different.
Precisely. And I think Sting makes it look so easy.
Yeah, effortless.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And moving on, we have Metallica's Cliff Burton at number 25, Geddy Lee of Rush at 24, and Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers at 22. I think those are the names that you would expect to be in this list. Like John Paul Jones as well, making it to number 14 on the list for his excellent work with Led Zeppelin. And as we move on with the list, the top 10 is filled with god-tier bassists to me who left a huge impact in the bass world. Number 10, you have Ron Carter, jazz bassist. Paul McCartney is at number 9. Yeah, even though people don't look at Paul McCartney as like a very god-tier bassist, but he has pretty good lines, like one of my favorite songs from the Beatles, Rain. And even in the song Something, it's very complex lines that he doesn't repeat, and once you isolate the bass and just listen to the bass, it's actually pretty complex.
Yeah, I love listening to isolated bass tracks by Paul McCartney. I heard so much of it. I think everything on Abbey Road, there was a video on YouTube of an isolated bass recording of that album, and I love it. Songs like Come Together, you know, that had some really great bass lines. Don't Let Me Down.
Yeah, he's actually doing a lot of things on his fretboard, but somehow with the full, when all the instruments come together, it blends very well and it gets overlooked sometimes. So if you're very interested to hear that, it's all on YouTube.
Absolutely.
Jaco Pastorius is at number 8. I would have thought he deserved to be higher in the spot, but I guess they're looking at the bigger picture in terms of impact. So I wouldn't argue. Number 7, Larry Graham, who's often credited as the inventor of the slap bass. So no slapping in funk.
Slapping the bass.
Yeah, if there was no Larry Graham, who's apparently the uncle of Drake.
Oh, wow.
There you go. Number 6, Jack Bruce of Cream. Number 5, Carole Kaye, legendary session player who not only played bass but guitar as well. Now, all you need to know how legendary she is that she has played on an estimated 10,000 sessions in her more than 50-year career. I think she was one of the first people in her time to use a guitar pick for the bass as well. I might be wrong, but that's what I read. Funk master Bootsy Collins is at number 4. John Entwistle is at number 3. At least he's still number 1 in the Reader's List, Reader's Choice list. Very electrifying sounds from John.
Definitely.
I remember listening to My Generation for the first time, you know, during the break where his bass sticks over.
Oh, yes!
Listening for the first time without any video, I was like, whoa!
Yep. I mean, Keith Moon and John Entwistle are probably one of the tightest rhythm sections in
Definitely.
The band.
Mm. Yeah. Number 2, Charles Mingus, jazz powerhouse icon, who was not only a bassist, but a band leader and composer in his own right. To be very honest with you, I've always known Charles Mingus to be a very excellent jazz bassist, but I never knew he was number 2 greatest bassist of all time, kind of good. So I just need to brush up on my jazz stuff and
Same here, man.
Listen to more Charles Mingus. Yeah. And at number 1, drum roll, no surprises here, it's James Jameson. As they will call it, the true bassist of all the bassists out there. He's the king of pocket and feel. Very happy to see James Jameson take the top spot because he's a bassist that played for lots of Motown recordings. And back in the day, those session players were never credited for their work. So the general public would never know of his greatness and was mainly only famous among other bassists. But if you've never heard of the name, you've definitely heard his bass playing. That's just how good he is. This is not his first number one title. Bass Player magazine also crowned him number one in their 100 greatest bass players list. So there are actually 100 bass players out there.
You know, I really want to get to the bottom of this. It seems like a problem to me that players like James Jamerson never got credited in the early Motown records that he was on. And yeah. I wonder why. Why wouldn't you put his name on?
I think everybody was just not on the liner notes at all, including the other band members. It was just the singer that got the main spotlight.
So he's always in the backing band for a label.
I mean, right now there's more attention in who played what instrument and like who produced those tracks. So I think finally they have their recognition that they deserve.
Yes.
At the time when James Jamerson was playing, he made the bass sing in a way that nobody knew was possible. You know, he added lots of complexity and melodic depth to the songs that he was featured on. He also plucks the bass with only his index finger, and he's very fast in that. My most favorite James Jamerson story was when he got a bit too drunk for a Marvin Gaye session. He ended up playing the song What's Going On, of course a classic Marvin Gaye tune, on the floor. And he would just like slumber. So he didn't, and then it became one of the most iconic Marvin Gaye, James Jamerson
bass lines. I can sing the bass line in my head right now.
Yeah. He's really famous for those bass lines that are ever evolving within the song and jolting with melody while still remaining that whole restraint that's very important, right? And the way he plays is very deceptively simple but incredibly hard, because the songs that he's always featured are, not to say complicated songs, chord-wise, but he managed to go out of the box a bit melodically and do lots of wacky things. So, well-deserved, James Jamerson. So,
and to all the bassists out there, you finally got love from Rolling Stone magazine.
You're not forgotten.
Yes. you know, I'm still not happy that it's not a list of 500 or 100. You only have 50 bassists.
Right. Speaking of James Jamerson, before we get on to the next part of the show, I want to play a tune from Jackson 5. James Jamerson played the bass on this next one. And just for you to hear how complex and melodious his bass lines are, I'm going to play the stripped down mix that was released not too long ago of like stripped down Jackson 5 songs. And you can clearly hear the master at work on the bass. Check it out, the Jackson 5. It's the stripped mix of Darling Dear, right here on The Pulse with Ali Joe and Off Near Thing. Stay tuned right here on BFM 89.9.